Hello and welcome to the Dansker Digital Advantage podcast series. I'm Wendy Austin. In this series, we're talking to interesting and insightful people about a whole range of topics from resilience to employee engagement to digital strategy. And actually, that's what we're talking about today. COVID has led to such massive changes for all of our lives, for businesses. It's meant the very real challenge often of just keeping going. And for Danske Bank and its many business customers, that's meant going digital. For some, a daunting prospect that maybe they'd been putting off for some time, while others were oven ready. So in this episode, we've the chance to listen and learn from the experience of a local successful business leader and from a leading local digital agency on the what, the why, and maybe most importantly, the how. I'm delighted to be joined by Greg Bradley, who's MD of Black Box Fitness, and Jerry Staple, co-founder of Origin Digital. And guys, before we get into the nitty-gritty, first of all, welcome to the podcast. But maybe you could tell us a bit about your business. Jerry first and Origin Digital.
Hi, thanks, Wendy. Nice to be here. Well, Origin is a digital-first creative agency that forms brands using digital. And as you alluded to earlier, at present, it's very much the question on everyone's lips, i.e. how can I use digital to improve efficiency? And in essence, that's what we do. But the heart of all this, another thing is what we do is customer experience, whereby brands these days have to adopt a customer-centric approach so that you work around the customer's habits and channels as opposed to what you think they need or actually are.
So that's the really kind of critical nub of the whole thing, which is very interesting, actually. And Greg, what about you? Tell us a bit about Black Box, and we'll come on to how you're delighting your customers in a moment.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, thanks. Glad to be on here. But yeah, Black Box, we design, manufacture and supply strength and conditioning or fitness equipment. We're based in Titanic Water in Belfast, and yeah, we've probably got just over 70 team members. I'm the managing director, set the company up in 2012, which seems a little bit longer than it actually is. But no, it's been a fascinating journey to date, and COVID has brought, we've had to make a quite a big pivot from historically being a little bit more B2B focused to e-commerce, dealing direct to consumer, which was always going to be a key pillar for us moving forward. It's just happened a little bit quicker.
Well, we'll have more from you in a moment, Greg, about how you went about it and what changes and so on you've had to make. But I suppose the topic today really is a digital strategy. And those are a couple of words that scare the living daylights out of some people, it would seem. What exactly is a digital strategy, Jerry?
Well, first of all, I think we go to strategy. What is strategy? So strategy is a term that gets bandied about primarily by management consultants or politicians, but it often gets misinterpreted as goals. And each one of us uses strategies in everyday life, from business to even family to even raising children. And you probably didn't even know we're actually doing it. And I think it can simply be described as how we are going to get from A to B. And in essence, it's the little bit in the middle. We want to go there. We are here. We want to go there. How are we going to do it? So in essence, as you said at the start, it's the how. And it can be very, very simple. To say, for example, my objective is to lose weight, so which is probably very current. I want to lose 5 kilograms. So that's my objective. Then I go to the strategy. What's my strategy for achieving that objective? What's the how? In essence, it'll be eat less, move more. I mean, it's very, very simple, but that's my strategy. But then you come on to the tactics part, which is, okay, what do I need to do to facilitate that strategy? So, okay, I'm going to reduce my calories. I'm going to track my food intake. I'm going to increase walking or movement. I'm going to eat more protein. So you can fundamentally break it down to these three core areas, which is what I want, and go to the strategy, how I'm going to do that. And then you're going to go into your tactics to achieve the strategy. But it can be very, very simple as well. You got Steve Jobs, one of my heroes. When he returned to Apple in 1997, it wasn't in the shape it was today. And it was actually really struggling at that time. So he came back and his objective was survival, which sounds absolutely horrendous if you think about it, where Apple is today. But his strategy, all it was one word, and that was simplification. And as you can see, Apple is a success it is today. So if we apply digital to strategy, a digital strategy, the only thing is you apply digital to that strategy. We're going to use digital elements or components to achieve our strategy. And as I said at the start, customers' habits have changed. People have changed now. We've sort of evolved into this digital system or the ecosystem now, even with the onset of COVID. Digital has become so paramount to a business success, but people are still, we even have conversations over the last, probably about a year ago, people say, do I really need a website? Do I really need a website? They've always seen it as a nice to have, where they should be really capitalizing on the things they can do with digital to enhance their business. So that's what we see by digital strategy. It should be part and parcel of a business strategy. It's just the digital components. But the trouble is what you said earlier, people don't understand a lot on what they can do. So that's what we do in essence as Origin. We help them navigate this sort of digital sort of landscape to help them improve business or internal communications or using digital. And it's more paramount than ever than after in this pandemic world we now find ourselves in.
Greg, you mentioned at the start that you'd always had the intention of going more down the e-commerce line, doing more in the digital sphere, if you like, but that you had to do that pretty darn quickly whenever this all started. So you weren't asking yourself if you really needed a website. You knew that you did, and you really had to hit the ground running, I suspect. What did you do? How did you go about it?
Yeah, no, we have been doing e-commerce sales for a couple of years, but I think we probably have seen about a 700% increase in our e-commerce. That might even end up being maybe over 1,000 by the end of the year. So yeah, I think we definitely had to, there was a lot of change very quickly. We had to definitely invest more in our manufacturing, we had to expand the premises. Customer service is a huge one as well. When you're, you know, normally we would have relatively a smaller number of customers, then turns into hundreds or thousands. So it is a very different profile. And yeah, with e-commerce, people want the product within a couple of days. They're not willing to wait, you know, 2, 4, even 12 weeks. So it has been a challenge, but we have invested in more machinery and then also new software as well, launched a new ERP system, MRP system for our manufacturing and a CRM. And all these things all need to work in conjunction as well so that there is a joint up approach. And then for the e-commerce itself, we've also launched our own app as well, because for me, it's always, as a company, the most important customer. We actually use the term client internally, because a customer for me is, it's just a transaction, whereas a client is a long-term relationship. And so we launched the app so we can offer special offers, loyalty, promotions for people that have spent with us, and we want to retain them. If we can keep our clients, then they're just going to generate referrals and spend more money with us.
Jerry talked about strategy and about the digital strategy being a part of your business strategy. From the sound of what you've had to do, that has gone through every part of your business. It's not just the bits that you would expect, the online parts and so on. I mean, this is everything from your supply to your clients, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been and even internally, we've probably hired over 25 new team members in the past probably 6 months. So to be able to do that remotely, thankfully we're already on Teams, and anything have in place has always been cloud based, because you know we tried to be have this aspirations to be an international business, so everything had to be on the cloud. But yeah, it's not just about the front end or the client facing everything. The back end needs to be digital as well. A lot of our staff are working remotely. Supply chain has been an area that has been a challenge as well. But yeah, thankfully, a couple of hiccups and mistakes, but thankfully we've been able to pivot and ride through it.
I wondered about that. I mean, it can't all have been plain sailing. What can you share with us about what worked and what didn't?
Where do I start? I think even it's quite easy to sell a product, but being able to fulfill it and within the right time, even things like our packaging has been a huge challenge when, you know, we're now sending thousands of smaller orders. Some we had orders going to Hawaii, Australia, Canada, America, and you very quickly find out if your packaging is up to date. And then even just data management as well. Thankfully, we do have a company dashboard where we've got probably 12 to 15 different data points feeding into it. We also launched into Trustpilot, which is obviously a very public customer review platform. And it was probably the worst time to do that because our lead time was probably longer than where we wanted it to be. We were out of stock in lots of items, but we just made a decision as a company that, you know, there's no point in trying to hide it. We need to raise our game, and public accountability helps all of us raise our game. And thankfully, we do have, I think it's 4.6 or 4.7 out of 5. So we have good reviews, but definitely lots of room for improvement.
Jerry, those are obviously challenges which are very specific to Greg's business, some of them anyway. Are they the kind of challenges that you've been hearing from your clients? What sort of hurdles have they been having to get over?
Absolutely. I think the good thing with Greg is a company of now and of the future who've embraced digital as part of who they are. I think the problem comes from the sort of legacy companies that were pre sort of digital and now need to adopt digital. So this would be now, as COVID, we would classify that as like an accelerant for digital transformation. And I've been preaching digital transformation for years, but no one's been listening to me. But now it's really, really apparent. So I think it's the sort of the brands pre-digital trying to embrace digital find it the hardest. But one, Danske, obviously, as some of you may know, we work with Danske. Danske have had to change themselves from, they have to change people's banking habits. So you've got the likes of people used to go into their local branch, speak with their local branch manager. That's all changed now. People don't want to go into branches now. They want a sort of a mobile banking experience. They want to access these services online. They don't want to go into branch if they don't have to. And I think Danske is a really good benchmark of how sort of modern banking is going, whereby their branch is totally changed now. It's more like a sort of an Apple sort of showroom. They've got some really good digital tools that people are using. Another client of ours, Abbey Insurance, or Abbey Autoline now as they're called. Same again, they had a massive branch network, but people's customers' habits have changed now. Nobody wants to go into a branch to talk about insurance. They want to be able to go online and do it straight away. They want to apply online. They want to do it in the least amount of time possible. But the trouble is as well, is that's holding everyone back is these businesses were built on massive, big legacy systems, computer systems that make it very hard to provide a nice, seamless front-end experience to the consumer. So at the moment, the consumer going through these experiences is very frustrated because there's lots of friction. And this is down to the back-end technology facilitating that, which is why you get companies like Greg and Black Box, who, because they were built in this modern age, they've got customers at the heart of the journey, whereas bigger companies, they have to sort of reinvent the wheel and adopt this customer-centric approach. So I think that's the thing. It's these companies that were pre-digital that now need to embrace digital, which is the biggest problems, as opposed to the new companies starting up now who are adopting that customer-centric approach from the start and working from the outside in, from the customer journey that dictates the technology.
It's that challenge, I suppose, isn't it, of putting the customer first and having the customer experience, the client experience, as Greg would maybe put it, at the heart of everything, when it is all online. And there is that strange kind of, on the one hand and on the other, about this, where, yes, it's all digital, but actually your best experience is often when there's somebody, a real person somewhere along the line, that makes it all work spectacularly well for you. I mean, how do you go about delighting your clients when you're speaking through a laptop or on a mobile phone or even just sending messages, Jerry?
I think it's about simplicity. One, providing a sort of frictionless experience. So if I want to, because there's some things we don't want to speak to anyone about, namely estate agents and insurance. We want a simple process to go through that we can get in, get it done and get out again. We don't want to be sort of stuck in a sort of a rat hole. But if there's tools there to help the customer, it could be in the form of a chatbot. Same again, chatbots. Bit of a bad press years ago, but now they're so advanced. And I think people do want ease of use and friction-free. They don't but there again, saying that, there's some people that would like to speak to someone at the end of the phone in a more traditional manner, which is why, say, for the likes of Abbey Insurance as well. And also they've got this offline experience. So if they don't want to go this sort of digital route, they can go into some form of branch and speak to an individual. But I think it's all about experience with that brand. And I always liken it to like the Apple experience. You know, Apple is just friction-free. You go in, they're there, you order something, it gets emailed straight away. It's just friction-free. But to get to that stage is quite complex. To be simple, you have to go past the complexity to make it simple. You know what I mean? So I think I've gone around it the long way, but it's experience, Wendy, I think. Experience at the end of the day. Working around, it goes back to that customer and providing what they need when they need it.
Greg, what about you? I mean, how do you deal with the problems that come from in something like, as you've said, you know, a 700% increase in e-commerce, and the unhappy customer can create such a mess for you, can't they? You know, the happy ones, it's great if they give you a 4 or 5 star rating, but the unhappy ones can be a real nuisance, can't they?
Yeah, they can. And I think, you know, in this current climate, everyone's stressed and everyone's under pressure. For us, one of our core values as a company is client obsession. And I think that's something that we just cannot lose track of. It is something we borrowed from Amazon. One of their 12 principles is customer obsession. And I think, you know, the success leaves clue. We don't try to reinvent the wheel with too much. We just take the best out of several different industries, what the best companies are doing, and try and use that within Blackbox. And a lot of us, you know, are our own customer or client. We're very much into training, exercising. So we just kind of think, what would we like as a, you know, a purchaser? But yeah, definitely dealing with people. For me, I'm always about lifetime value of a client as well. We, you know, there's nothing worse. If someone's not happy with the service, they're probably going to tell 10 to 12 people. And it does come at a cost financially, either through refunds or giving gift cards. But I would much rather absorb that cost and right the wrong. I think we need to, as a company, be accountable. There's no point in us blaming FedEx or whoever the courier is about the standard of their deliveries. It's all about us. And, you know, I think if you can be accountable and, you know, own up when you make mistakes, I think people will be much more forgiving. But definitely we've had to ramp up our customer service, and that, you know, it would have been easier to turn the phone off, not answer it, or maybe emails. But, you know, there are things that quite frankly annoy people, so we've had to try and have the different touch points. Like Jerry has said, you know, some people maybe want to be on the phone, some want to maybe just do chat through emails, so we try and just make it as easy for them.
And how do you measure the success of your digital strategy? I mean, is it through click-throughs, your online sales, you know, how do you actually put a measure on it?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of different metrics that we can. And I do think as internet marketers, a lot of people can get obsessed with some of these numbers and conversion rates, etc. I think they are important, but ultimately in e-commerce, there's only really three key metrics that work, and that's our the average order value, our traffic on the website and the conversion rate. There is lots of other things, but if we could maybe just measure those three metrics and trying to increase each of them, that's just quite a simple way. And I haven't come up with that. There's people much smarter than me within Blackbox that know a whole lot more about this. But yeah, we kind of set the culture, set the vision, and as a team we set the strategy and set some goals, and we review that every 90 days. We're trying to grow somewhere between 50 to 100% each year. So, you know, in 90 days we're almost trying to achieve what other companies would achieve in a year. So we stay nimble, but culture's the main thing. If we can protect that, you know, we talk about as a team winning as one. You know, it's all about the team and the company as opposed to individual goals, or that's the most important for me.
You said when we were chatting before this that and you've alluded vaguely to it there when you say there are other people who are much smarter than you in the company, which I find very hard to believe. But you said that you like to just let the key people get on with it. Is that how you achieved this? You know, you didn't bring someone in, did you? You say you've learned from other companies. You've kind of soaked up the best that's around, it would seem.
Yeah, no, I've said, you know, success leaves clues. And I think, you know, you are the sum of the five people you spend most of your time with. So for me, I, you know, like to speak with other people in business or other areas as well. But I think, you know, there's nothing worse than micromanagers. I want to just give our team autonomy to do the right thing. And another one we talk about is your job versus your role. And, you know, your job description might be to be an accountant, to manage cash, but your role is to improve the company. And sometimes these two things can contradict each other, but everyone's role is to make the company better. So everyone is, you know, bought into the vision for the company. And I think then if everyone does that, then we will achieve ultimately our goal.
Jerry, you were nodding there when Greg was talking about the three metrics on e-commerce. So got that one right, clearly. When you look at the customers that you've been dealing with over the last six, it's almost 9 months, really, of this kind of weirdness that we're all in at the moment, what sort of issues have you been dealing with? What sort of solutions have you been able to either come up with or help them to come up with?
Yeah, so over the last sort of 6 months, what's become apparent is like brand owners and CEOs have had a really good opportunity to look at themselves on how their customers or employees interact with their brand or organization, because they've been sat at home and they may have had a real indication of what their customers go through. So what's come out of it, what we've had over the last sort of 2 months, we do a thing called digital branding, and that means how a brand is portrayed online, because they have to change. If they're an offline business, they have to change. They can't just replicate their offline proposition to online. So we've noticed a lot of companies now had a really good look. They've had a little look at their blind spots. They've even gone through some of their processes online, or say if it's an e-commerce client, they've gone through and bought something and stuff. So we're doing a lot of digital branding now. We're changing the brand now, looking at how they communicate that brand with their end user. We're looking at, they're redefining who their actually customer is, and we're doing like customer personas, because to get a handle on how the customers go through a process, we get a handle of who that customer is, and then we work out personas. We profile that customer, what their needs are, what they want to achieve, their pain points and the friction points. So it's really creating friction-free sort of onboarding sort of processes for these, and rebranding some of these companies as well, because they don't feel it's applicable in this day and age. Also content, how they communicate, because content strategy is a massive thing now, to communicate online via sort of social, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, etc. How a brand is portrayed online, and especially over lockdown, you'll see there are some really good brands doing some really good content, really reassuring content. But there's other brands that just went to ground and said nothing. They were just like 6 months. It was just like shocked, and they didn't put any content out. So messaging is another thing, how they communicate the brand to their potential customers. So it's another thing we've been working on. So of the last 2 months, really, how a brand's portrayed, which is digital branding, and also how they communicate more efficiently. Also internal communication. So it's one thing we work with, like B2B, B2C, but also internal communications is another important. How do you communicate with your team internally? We know there was a couple of with were really caught off guard when everyone had to work from home because they just didn't have the systems in place to facilitate that. And communicate with their internal teams was very, very hard. So same thing, I think it's a kick up the backside for a lot of companies saying, look, okay, we need to get a handle of this and improve our internal communications as well to our team members. So especially over the last 6 months. So.
How's it all been working for your company, I wonder? I mean, we've heard from Greg about the enormous increase in e-commerce, about their worldwide sales, exporting goods to Hawaii and the States and so on. How does it affect a company like yours that everybody else is online as well? Has it meant that you've got more business, not just locally, but maybe internationally as well?
Yeah, hopefully it's been a sort of, for us over the last 5 years, we have been to the US and sort of treading the sort of boards of the US, New York and Boston, so it's like to sort of strike up strategic partnerships. And it's always been very, very hard for us because we always want to grow outside of Northern Ireland. We want to do the work inside, but sort of work outside. And over the last sort of 2 months, these partnerships have become into fruition. So we're now working, a lot of our work now, I'd say at least 50% at the moment is working in the US, working down the East Coast in New York, where we're working with startups in New York, primarily in the fintech and insurtech spaces, whereby these are really new brands coming to fruition. We're helping them, one, with digital branding, how they're portrayed online, we're helping with communication, but also lead generation, how they acquire customers. So we're doing all those things I talked to you about. We're looking at their personas, we're analyzing the market, and then reaching out and coming up with communication strategies to reach their customers and in essence convert that customer. So a lot of our work now is sort of lead generation, we'd classify as helping brands generate leads through digital.
Fascinating stuff, I must say, hearing from both of you how you've gone about it, brought your teams along with you, and pivoted to seize what has turned out to be an opportunity in the middle of something which, as you've just been saying, Jerry, has left some people like a rabbit in the headlights for months on end. If you had to do this again, Greg, what would you do differently?
I mean, I think we have been quite fortunate as a company in that we have been able to, within reason, continue to trade. And, you know, we set a goal before 2020 of, you know, for our financial goals and key objectives. And whilst the profile of the client has changed, there's more e-commerce than being traditional gyms or sports teams. I think, yeah, if we had a glass ball, definitely I would have maybe had more stock. And I think our biggest chokehold on the business currently or bottleneck is actually our current headquarters. We had planned to double our space, and it was actually Amazon's success. They've decided to not give back the warehouse that we were due to move into. So I think if we, with the benefit of hindsight, if we had a much bigger headquarters, we could have definitely had our manufacturing more room for warehousing. I think that would be one of the things, but it was a little bit out of our own control. We're always constantly, we're perpetual work in progress, and we make mistakes every day, and we just try and be 1% better. I think e-commerce, we probably should have maybe had a more of a key pillar or revenue stream before now, but again, with the resources we had previously, we weren't willing or able to make the investments. So there's been lots. I think even just managing our team, and now we're based over four different locations, kind of maybe lost a little bit of the togetherness, because, you know, some people are working 24-hour shift patterns, some others aren't, some are working remotely. So we're trying to put different initiatives in place digitally to have that. So that's one thing we're always constantly just analyzing and seeing how we can improve as a company. So we'll do more of that after this year.
And if there's someone listening to this who hasn't taken the big leap yet, or who hasn't wholeheartedly done so perhaps, what would you say to them, Greg, about the steps that they should take to either change course or improve their digital strategy and their digital transformation?
Yeah, I think for me, kind of big thing is books. For me, I'm an avid reader, and you know, they can probably be some of the best mentors you can have. There's a quote from a guy, Charlie Tremendous Jones, and he talks about, you know, you'll be the, in 5 to 10 years time, you'll be the sum of two things: one, the people you spend most of your time with, and the other is the books you read. And for me, those two things can have a massive impact. You don't need to spend a huge amount of money to do this. Like, technology now is so cheap to implement. You don't need to put systems in that are, you know, £100,000. You can do it on a SaaS subscription model. And I think the big thing is, you know, figure out what you want to do, find out who has done that or within reason, and just, you know, take the best from it and you know, do it yourself. So, and the big thing is, you'll find the best companies in the world were started during a recession. We're probably hitting maybe one of the deepest recessions now, and just the opportunities that are going to come on the back of this, or regardless of the industry, there's going to be so many opportunities. So that's probably the number one thing, is being able to control your own mindset. Because, you know, we have had our challenges, and there was a stage I thought we might have to shut down or make a lot of people redundant. But if you can control your own mindset and roll with the punches, I think that's the number one. Because, you know, it is stressful, and there's a lot of uncertainty out there. But if you can have that abundance mindset, you know, you'll be able to figure things out.
Jerry, what about you? What steps would you say to anyone listening who hasn't done it yet, or wants to change course? What do they do now?
Just follow on from Greg, really, I would say it's, people have to use this as an opportunity and remove, sort of have a really good hard look at their business. And how do they do that? Well, Elon Musk is a good example of this. Elon Musk, he set up SpaceX many, many years ago, but initially he went to the Soviet Union to buy rockets. He thought he could get some cheap rockets, but he went there, and in essence, they messed him around a bit. So they charged him $6 million per rocket. But anyway, so he went back on the plane. He says, "Well, hang on a minute. Why don't I build my own rockets?" But initially that seems really inconceivable. How can I build a rocket? But he looked at it. He got his spreadsheet. He got Excel out on the plane and started working some numbers out. And he said, "Well, I can actually build my own rockets." Okay. And I think this is a good example. And he used the thing as a physics principle called first principles, where you look at the world differently. You boil everything down to the most fundamental truth and say, okay, what is true? What is true for sure? And then you reason up from there. So for business owners, I think they should just remove any assumptions, blank paper, boil everything down to the fundamental truths, align with where we currently are, and then start building from that, rather than that saying, "Oh, we've always done it this way" kind of thing. Remove that and boil everything down and build it up from where we are now. And I, as Greg said, I think there's massive opportunities going forward, and there'll be winners and losers, but I think it's the action you take now which will determine the success of your company in the future.
Thank you very much indeed for your time. I know just how busy you both are, and it's been terrific to be able to get that insight from both of you. I've been talking to Jerry Staple of Origin Digital and Greg Bradley of Black Box Fitness. This is the Danske Digital Advantage podcast. Thanks for listening. There'll be another one soon. Please subscribe to the series wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us too, and join us for the rest of the series. Thanks for listening.